And to be able to have the last words today. Last words don't have to be long, but they many times are memorable. Reminds me to get up at a time like this after so much good has happened. There was a story in ancient, or not really ancient, it was back in the ancient to me, 1930s, since I wasn't born yet, in the 40s, that there was a communist propaganda day in the town, and person after person got up to talk about how there was no God. Finally, because they wanted to give deference to the church that was represented there, the pastor got up and he just said something very brief. The Lord is risen. He's risen indeed. And there was pandemonium. Everyone gave him a standing ovation. He didn't say too much, but he pointed to the very thing we've seen today. That is that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. That's what we saw today, amen? So we've heard the best thing. But I might just add a couple words now. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, what a wonderful thing to hear the testimonies we've heard today in song and in word and in action. And what a wonderful place to be in a bay that looks like it's made of granite, but that has really cracked open, and the water of life has come out today to people. So today we're just thankful. We could just add a couple thoughts that could spur us on as we are ready now to go into the blessings of battle. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thought, what would I talk about today? Not knowing that I didn't have as much time, I prepared a little more, but I'm going to break it down to three quick points, Pastor John. I want you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 126. Now, normally, in Psalm 126, what we normally do is focus just on those verses that were read for us just a few moments ago, which say in verse 5 and 6, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. How many of you have ever heard a sermon on that? Oh, delightful. Nobody. Usually, that's a sermon that many times is brought up when we're talking about soul winning. And usually those verses alone are expounded. But I want to look at the entire psalm briefly. Let me mention again, briefly. And there are three basic divisions in the psalm I want to look at. First of all, verse 1, Psalm 126, now verse 1, the Lord brought back. Then verse 4, bring back. And then verse 6, bringing his sheaves. Three different components of the psalm. And I want to suggest that this psalm is exactly what someone needs to hear after they're baptized and before they're baptized. So at any time, the psalm is appropriate. It is a psalm that is taken from about 15 psalms that are called the Psalms of Ascent. And you probably know that the book of Psalms is comprised of five different sections. And it was meant to go along with the five sections of the Pentateuch, right? So as you sing the psalms, you're always asking, where in the first five books of the Bible, which is another fancy way to say Pentateuch, sorry, when you say, where is that? Is it Genesis? Is it Exodus? Is it Leviticus? Is it Numbers? Is it Deuteronomy? Don't you find yourself doing that? You look at a psalm and you go, where is that from? How many of you have never thought that before in your life, but now will? Amen? Amen. And you're saying, exactly, you know, I've heard that song somewhere before. Now, where is it? And I began to ask that about this. I heard someone preach on this psalm not so long ago, and I said, Where is that? Where is it? And I began to study. And then I realized that this psalm was one of the psalms that was sung as they would go to the sanctuary on their different feasts. In fact, this psalm was called a song of ascents, and it was as if they would go towards the temple, and as they got closer, they would ascend higher and higher and higher to Mount Zion. How many of you want to be marching to Zion? And they would go up one stair step and then another step. And then the choirs as they got closer and the singing as they got closer. It was kind of like our pianist today from one verse. We have this hope to the next verse. Or we're marching to Zion. Would go up, stair step up, a half a step and a half a step. And you know that little word Selah? Have you ever wondered what that's for? Is that like a marine animal? No, Selah just means literally go up a half a step in musical notation. So are they singing, kick it up a notch, another notch, another notch. Amen? Amen? And this song of ascent was saying, look, we're going up further and further. But then in its mind, in the psyche of this psalm, it's saying, but don't forget about the other people. They're not where you are. We have such a high day today. But what about the lost? What about those who are not ascending? What about those who have never heard? That's the point of the psalm. Now you want to look at it? Let's look at it. Because the context here, by the way, one other thing. Do you know when this specific psalm was usually sung? It's a counterpart to Psalm 185. Both of these psalms were sung on the Day of Atonement. And for anybody that knows, if you look at the book of Leviticus, and especially chapter 23, there is God's salvation history right there in one chapter. Starts out with the lamb, then the unleavened bread, then the wave sheet, then Pentecost, then trumpets, then Day of Atonement, and then next, tabernacles, which pointed toward the fact that we would be tabernacling with God in heaven. So this psalm was supposed to be sung by those who believe Jesus is coming again and they're living in the time of the Day of Atonement. Are you now a little more interested in the psalm? Okay, let's look at it then. Verse 1 to 3 is really bringing back a word of praise. When the Lord brought back the captivity of Zion, we were like those who dream. Our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with singing joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Middle of the psalm, we're glad. Why are they glad? Because as they look back, they say, look, you brought us back. You brought us back from the dead, the children's story. The dog who was dead and amazingly lives again. Amen? Did you like that story? And the dog came through the door. And I was like, amen? And you just go, wow, we brought back from the dead. What about the story of the prodigal? My son, who was dead, and now he's alive. Amen? I'll forgive him the debt, whatever it is that he owes, because he was lost, and now he's found. How many of you have a testimony? Could you almost picture the song we heard for special music being sung to someone who's ready to die? I kept thinking about that when I was listening. And the confidence that must have brought to your aunt as you sang the song. Because she probably thought, there's no way this young girl's ever going to be converted. She's out there. She's lost, but now she's found. Amen? So the whole point of the psalm is this. If you want to be glad, if you want to witness, notice, what does it say? It says, you brought us back from captivity. This was sung right after the 70 years in Babylon. They thought God had forgot them. They didn't realize that he had remembered. And they had read the prophecy of Jeremiah. They had read the prophecies in Daniel. But were they true? We're about to have a series on Bible prophecy. And are the prophecies true? They are true because as we look back, we see
that what God said came to pass. There was Babylon, there was Medo-Persia, there was Greece, there was Rome, and things are moving on apace. God has moved, and he will move again. How do we know? Because you brought them back from captivity, and you brought them back on time. Amen? Notice what he says. We were like those who dream. We couldn't believe it. It was as if, are we really coming back? Have you ever had that situation? Can I really believe it? I saw some of you looking at the baptism today and a look of disbelief on your face, some tears. I can't believe it. He's getting baptized. I could point out who you are, but I always like watching faces. I'm like, and I saw someone just, the tears going down the cheeks. There was water, not only in the baptistry. Is this a dream? And that's what they said. Well, we were like those that dream. Our mouth, instead of just saying, we laughed and we sang. Don't you know, love how the psalm, our mouth was filled with laughter. In other words, God put laughter into our hearts. How many think that's a great recipe for holy laughter? Spurgeon once said, if you want to have holy laughter, here's a recipe. Get put in jail for a few weeks and then hear the Lord turn the key. And then follow him out of the jail to a high road. And then your sky will burst with sunshine and your heart with song and laughter. If you don't like this recipe, it seems too time-consuming and expensive. Just keep staying on the high road. Amen? How many of you have that testimony that you were in the hood and then you realized what you should do? You were in jail. But then God brought you out of jail. How many of today are saying, praise God, he brought me out. I remember once I was taken to preach in a prison and I was preaching about the importance of a verdict. My title was The Importance of a Verdict. When I announced it, they go, you know that's right. That's what they said. There's something about being in jail and in captivity that makes us really revel and be glad. Some of you are from the Ukraine. Some of you are from Romania. Some of you are from the former Soviet Union. And you look around sometimes here and you say, you Americans have no idea of how delightful what you're experiencing is. How many of you have ever thought that? Some of you are like, it's okay. There's something about coming out of captivity. How many of you want to always foster this idea of remembering what God has done for you? And as you remember what he's done, I'm going to share a little of my testimony after lunch. And I was remembering what he did. I said, man, it's amazing what he has done. Still amazing what he needs to do, amen? Some of those who know me are really saying amen there, right, honey? God's not through with you yet, buddy. He's using me. So anyway, you've done great things. You see it there in verse 2. The Lord has done great things for them, others will say. Yes, the Lord has done great things for us. The rejoinder comes. And we are glad. We're glad. Singing, glad. I have a friend. He just can't help himself. The Lord has done so much for him. He just sings to people, literally sings to them. He'll just start singing. At first, they just look at him like, and then he goes, won't you sing with me? Pretty soon, people are like, hallelujah, you know. But there's something about his life that changed. I was over in our other school in the United Kingdom. They were having a hard time going door to door. They didn't know what to do. So they said, we're just going to stop and start singing. So they went down and they sat down and they all just began to sing, oh, how I love Jesus. You know, I kind of sound bad today because of the throat problems. And they sound much better than that. And then the angels joined them and they just started singing. And it was like everywhere they had just knocked on the doors. Here they are sitting down in this city square and the windows began to open and the doors began. People started to listen. And the doors that would not open or had been slammed shut, they saw open. And then the people came down from the second. They started coming down and joining around. And they realized that just singing opened the doors. So maybe when you're going door to door this afternoon, might be a good approach. I remember as a kid, we'd go out caroling. We start singing. People who had never opened the door before, they opened the door. My dad thought we needed some Seventh-day Adventist steroids. And so he had, like, back then, I mean, you can picture it now. Now you have, like, a small thing, like an MP3 player, and you can have speakers this size that sound like, you know, you got the symphony orchestra with you. But he had, like, this big, huge tape recorder, you know, probably weighed 30 pounds. It was compact. It was under his coat. He wore this big overcoat. He kind of looked Russian, you know, with a big Russian overcoat, and he wasn't. But it was because he had this huge thing inside, and he'd hit the button. Joy to the world. And I remember this one lady going, man, you guys sound good. You, and she goes, do you sing bass? And I said, no. And she goes, where's that coming from? I'm like, and you know, my dad was like, sing louder. For some reason, the members had not gone with us and we were left alone. Just us and the King's Heralds. Amen. How many of you don't want the people going door to door this afternoon to be alone? Anyway, all right. I'm now stepping on your toes. Isaiah 51:1 says, remember the hole from which you were digged. Remember the hole you got out of. I was lost, but now I'm found. So, number one, remember that God brought you back. That's what they were doing. Now, number two, in our three-part sermonette. Verse 4. Bring back our captivity, O Lord, as streams in the south. So number one, there is this word of praise. And number two in verse 4, there is this word of prayer. You brought us back. Now, Lord, please bring some others back. Bring them back from captivity, O Lord. We can't do it. You do it. And bring them as streams from the south. Now, those of you from the South, how many of you are offended at this point? This was not the point to offend those from the South. The point was that from the South, as you look south from this particular perspective of Jerusalem, you would be looking down to Egypt, and you would be looking down to the desert, and you would be looking down to the Dead Sea, and you would be looking to something, a place where it looked like no foliage could ever be produced, a place where it looked like there was no water, no moisture, no precipitation. How in the world, Lord, are you going to do it? But Lord, we have to pray that you'll do it. And then what happened? In those parts, they were remembering that at one time of year, the rains would fall and overflood the wadis, and the streams would be filled with life-giving water, and then there would be a huge response by the foliage, and what looked barren would then be blessed. What looked unfruitful then would become fruitful. Is there someone you know that you say, Lord, it looks impossible. I don't think God can work on that person's heart. There's absolutely no way. How many of you can picture that person right now? You prayed for them for years. You're saying, that's impossible. I saw the look on the faces of some of the people that saw those baptized today, not the girl. Not to point out exactly who that is, but it's the young man that was standing by the young lady, and they were just like, I can't believe it. What was once barren now has been blessed. What was famished now is fruitful. Lord, do it. How many of you have that prayer for somebody? I know my mother prayed for me. I know that she watered the desert many years with tears. I'll tell some of that story this afternoon. I'll tell you one other story that just comes to mind, though. I remember once I had to go on Bible studies with my dad. And he took me to this one man's house. And this man had a big, huge yard, and down at the yard, he had this place where he kept a bunch of fish. And these fish that he kept there, I found the fish, and I'd always wanted to be a fisherman, but my dad was not a fisherman, and neither was I, but I saw that, suddenly I saw like this pond, and there was this barrel, and there were all these fishing poles. I said, man, this is unique. And so I took the fishing pole, and then right next to the fishing pole was a thing full of fish food. And so I took the fish food and I threw it out there on the thing. All these fish came. I go, whoa, this is amazing. So I put one right on the end of the hook. I put it in. Boom, I caught a fish. It was a pretty big fish. Then I caught another fish. 30 fish later, all of a sudden I heard this bellowing noise from the room up where my dad was giving the Bible study. And it was not good. Words I had never heard, said in a rapid form, which I had never heard before. And I didn't know what they meant, but they were very bad words now as I look back. And then the man was so upset that he got his gun. He had a gun. And he goes, stop or I'll shoot. And then he shot anyway. Boom, this big, huge cannon almost. I thought, I'm dead. I thought I'm going to be dead. So I hit the floor. I'm laying amidst the fish. And he shoots the gun 2 times. And I go, oh, Lord. And then he goes, is that your son? Who's that? You know, he's attending my, and I'm kind of crawling away. And they made me come. My dad says, come here. And I was like, to my death. So I'm going forward. I'm going up there. And I'm kind of slouched down to be less of a target. And I got up there, and the man says, did you realize how much this cost, these fish, and how much they're worth? And I was like, no, sir, I have no idea. They just jumped out of the pond. You know, I was about 8 or 9. And then he says, Reverend, I called my dad that, what are we going to do about this? And he said, my dad says, I don't know, but I think he should pay for everything. He should be punished. And I was like, my dad turned on me. I go, Dad. He goes, Dad, would you pay? Would you pay? And he goes, absolutely not. I was like, ah. So then my dad says something. My dad says, look, I'll bring back my boy every week, and he'll do whatever you want. Won't you, son? Yes, yes. And while we study the word, he'll do anything you want. And the man said, he's going to be working for me for a very long time. And my dad, I didn't realize it, but he's going, yes, praise God, you know. He was using me as a human shield. And he would be studying all the prophecies, and the man was so upset that I'd pay everything back that he was bringing blessings out of the situation. I still remember. No way did I think that man would ever be baptized. But I still remember the day he was baptized. And the story I just told you, he told. And everybody was like, hallelujah. I was still a little frightened. He actually became the junior teacher. I said, Mom, please go with me. But the Lord had changed his life. Some people you think would never come, the Lord can bring. Can he bring blessings out of the dry field? Can he bring fruit where there has been famine? Can he bring joy where it appears there's been junk? He can do it, amen? Which brings us to our third and final picture given. First of all, the word of praise. He brought us out. Secondly, the word of prayer. He brings us out. He can bring out. We should have a burden for souls. Paul said, oh, my believers, according to the flesh, I want them to come. God said, I'll give my son to save you. And Jesus said, I'll do anything who for the joy that was set before him. How many of you have a burden for souls like that? And then finally, the word of promise, if we develop that, verse 5 and 6. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Did you notice it? I heard it in the testimony of our pastor today as he was talking to those who had been baptized. He said, it's not necessarily just going to be easy because you've been baptized. Just because you were brought back, just because you're praying for others, does not mean that you won't have tears. You're going to go forth to the task. Go. It literally means as you go, as you continually go. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. While there are tears, at the same time, there's joy. Although our aunt may be dying of cancer, there's joy because we know that she's been faithful, and we'll see her in the resurrection. The Christian can always be joyful. Joy is not dependent in this verse on circumstance. It's not dependent on those who surround us. It's dependent on who we know. And we know he brought us back, and we know he can bring others. So first of all, there's the task in the word of promise. Go. Might be painful. But as you go, go weeping. Sow in tears. No tears. No treasure. Continually go forth weeping. I had some people in my church that were excellent at this. One lady, her name was Millie. She would stand at the door every day. And when she saw someone come in, she would just cry for joy. "Well, I'm so glad you're here." Start crying. And when they weren't there, "Where were you?" She was the best head greeter. She was Mrs. Tearful. She was God's waterfall. My mother was the same way. If she wanted me to do something, she would just start crying. And as she cried, my brother, I said, "What do you want us to do?" I know your mom's just saying that'll never happen in my house, but it did. Didn't always happen with my mother either. But going forth with tears. Write down a text and look at it later. Isaiah 66:8. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. As soon as there was tears, there was a treasure. Sometimes when we really let people know how we feel, and God moves upon us to have emotion, it'll change their heart. Once I came back, this man I was working for, I worked for a carpet cleaner, and I could tell you a lot of stories, but this man, once I came back late, and I had disappointed him, and I came in, he called me, he goes, "I want you to see in the office." I go into the office, and he was uncontrollably sobbing. I was like, I knew this was not what I had done. I was pretty sure. I said, "Has there been a death in the family?" And he said, "Yes." I said, "Who is it?" He said, "You." And I was like, "I'm not dead." He goes, "You're living as though you're dead. I can't stand it. I love you as if you were my own son. Please change." And then I realized he really did love me. And he wasn't even my father. How many want to have that kind of love for people? Man last week was at AFCO and he came to teach the students. And I asked him, "How did you get into Bible work?" And he told me, "My sister, I was growing up. I wasn't really a faithful young man. But my sister, she got cancer, and I knew she always prayed that we would come to know the Lord. And then she got cancer. And then she told us, 'Perhaps God has allowed me to get cancer because that'll get your attention.' And she goes, 'If that's the Lord's will, I surrender to it.' And she was joyful through her suffering and pain." And then he said to me, and I think Eric was with me, he said, "Look, I still remember it was yesterday when she got in the car for the last time. I didn't realize it was the last time. They loaded her in and they loaded her oxygen in with her, and I didn't realize we'd never see her again. I didn't want to go to the funeral, but it got my attention." And I began to cry. And I realized that God had answered her prayer. She died for me. She died so I would come to know the Lord. And I've always been faithful since. How many of you want to have that kind of attitude for souls? I could tell you some other stories I might this afternoon. Bearing seed with sowing. These seeds are so powerful. What is the seed? It's the gospel. It's the word. What we have is so powerful. And to whom much is given, much is required. What we have in this place is so powerful and potent. You say, "Well, I've never shared Jesus for 100 years. Look, they found seeds in King Tut's tomb that were 3,000 years old. And then they watered them and they came to life. I don't care if you never share. If you just share what you have now, God can make it spring to life. There can be water coming from granite. And flowers and plants in Granite Bay. Amen? That's the picture given. And I like how it ends. I could linger much longer, but let me just show you this. There's the task. There's the tears. And there's the triumph. Notice the assurance in an age of insecurity. Look at the assurance. Those who sow, what does it say? Shall reap in joy. How many of you like something like that? You shall reap. It's not like that. You might reap. You shall reap. Hallelujah. Amen. That's not an unsure thing. I was talking to somebody else the other day, and I said, sure glad I have no money, because I'd be very worried about my investments right now. It doesn't matter if you add in zero to zero. And the man says, you know, the best thing now, I think, is Canadian dollars. If you just buy Canadian dollars, you'll be all right, because the money is going to go down by 25% in the next month, and then this and that. And I was like, man, I'm glad I don't really have to worry about that. Then I thought back to a couple years ago. We were just getting started with Weimar, and I was out visiting right after the crash of 2008. And I was given the assignment to visit people and ask for money for Weimar by the ministry. They didn't want to put the dumbest guy on the front line. So I go out, and I come up to these houses, and I'm there knocking on these houses and go inside. And I can remember sitting down with these people, and they say, wish you would have come a few months ago. And then some of them begin to cry. I wish we would have given all of our money to God's work, because now we lost it all. I still think that's true. How many think it's true? And notice the payoff. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy, bringing seed for sowing. They shall, what's it say next? Shall doubtless. How many like that word? Doubtless. Not even a doubt. They shall doubtless come again rejoicing, bringing in the seed. The next few weeks, the church is embarked on something that is absolutely 100% doubtless. Even if there's one soul saved, that soul will live forever, and the payback will be infinite. Amen? It is doubtless. That's not something we can doubt. We can say, oh, I wonder if it's going to work. My word will not return to me void, says the Lord. It may look like it won't, but it will return. And look at the person next to you. They're probably living proof of it. Anybody here that came in through the preaching of an evangelistic campaign? Anybody here that knows somebody that came in through the preaching of God's word? Everybody here is here. Because that word is doubtless. Wish I could talk more. I love to talk, but I think that's enough. How many of you want to remember the words of praise God has given you? How many of you want to put before that word of prayer for someone else? And how many want to claim that word of promise? When you get tired or discouraged over the next few weeks, you're going to say, no, the promise is true. I'm going to come near that person. I'm going to share my testimony. I'm going to say, I'm praying for you, and I'm going to claim the promises on their behalf. How many want to make that commitment? Because as you do, you'll come bringing in the sheaves with the master. Should we sing that as we close? Bringing in the sheaves. What is that song number? Bringing in the sheaves. Let's sing that. Does anyone know the number? Bringing in the sheaves. 369. Let's stand together and sing number 369. Bringing in the sheaves. Sing the first. And the last.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontime and the dewy, waiting for the harvest. and the time of reaping, he shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. He shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. He shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, going forth with weeping, sowing for the Master. The loss sustained, our spirit often grieves. When our weeping's over, they will bid us welcome. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
One more time.
Bringing in the sheaves, oh, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves.
Lord, we're thankful for what you've done. We have no doubt about what you can do. Lord, help us not only to claim the promise, but enter into the labor with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.